Miami played their typical style of basketball, but the result was an ugly loss to the Hornets, underscoring the problems with this team. Was this the loss that will finally break the front office's back and force a trade? We break down what went wrong, who's to blame, and what the Heat needs to do next on today's Locked On Heat.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily podcast on the Miami Heat. I'm Wes Goldberg here with David Ramil. However you might be tuning in, YouTube, Odyssey, podcast, thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. Well, the Heat led by as many as 13 points, but they got outscored by the Hornets 33-24 in the third quarter, and they lose 112-117 on Sunday in Charlotte. A lot of the focus is going to be on how the Heat were outscored by 15 from the three-point line, but nothing really went right in this one, David. The Heat gave up 25 fast break points, scored only 10 fast break points themselves, despite forcing 19 turnovers, so they were not really taking advantage of those turnovers. They were outscored 58-56 in the paint. There was defensive concerns all over the place. You and I discussed the formula after the Magic win Friday night about how the Heat had been and are going to win games this year. It was going to be strong defense, outscoring the opponent in the paint, and forcing turnovers to get out on the break and score easy points in transition, and understanding that the Heat are just not going to win the three-point category most nights, right? But if they win those other categories that we just talked about, they're going to have a chance. They didn't do any of that today, David. That's my takeaway.
No, absolutely. They were playing with fire. And this is the problem with this team, is that they haven't been showing the ability to dominate. There was that one blowout win a few weeks ago, and since then, continuously playing the same script over and over again, close games, doing just enough to beat these teams, and needing for everything to break absolutely right. For this limited, you know, structure for this team, for a victory, it has to be where they win that turnover battle, where they win the points in the paint, where they're forcing those turnovers, as you pointed out, and shooting just well enough from the three-point line. None of that worked out for Miami today. Their defense was horrid. There was a couple minutes stretch in the fourth quarter when they were down 12, closing the gap, and almost looked like they were going to be able to pull off the victory with the same script. Unfortunately, from that point forward, Charlotte recognized, oh, wait, we've been doing this pretty well all game long. Got some big shots from LaMelo Ball and some lack of shooting from Kyle Lowry. And unfortunately, it wound up leading to the inevitable Heat loss.
Terry Rozier had 31 points in this game. P.J. Washington couldn't miss a shot. He had 27 in the game. Gordon Hayward literally did not miss a shot, going 7 of 7. And he scored 20 points pretty quietly, I thought, too. So, you know, the Heat also sort of catching the Hornets on the one game out of the week where Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward are making shots. That seems to be the case for the Hornets all year. LaMelo didn't even have a great game for them, but they were getting enough from everybody else that – they just couldn't keep up, and Tyler Hero started to kind of work his way out of his shooting funk. Kyle Lowry's still very much in it. Jimmy Butler had moments in that game where he was taking over. He had 28 points on 11 of 14 shooting, but you almost feel like he should have had more. Bam kind of ditto with him, 17 points for him on 15 shots. It's like
not enough.
That 15-footer was there for most of the game against Charlotte's drop coverage, and the fact that he only took 15 shots, I thought he should have had 20 shots in this game.
Well, he probably would have if he didn't keep dropping the ball. And I don't know if the turnovers were attributed to him or whether or not they were attributed to whoever was passing the ball, but there were a number of times there where the ball just seemed to slip right through his hands. It was a very atypical game. I'm not sure if it was being back in the Charlotte area from where he grew up or something along those lines, but he looked a little uncomfortable. Definitely not the all-star version of Bam that we've seen all year. And that was part of the problems. There was, you know, your Miami's offense is so built upon forcing the ball into Bam, watching him go to work. And unfortunately for him, it just wasn't able to hang on to the ball very effectively. Those 15 field goal attempts, not nearly enough. He probably would have had at least 4 or 5 more if he didn't keep bobbling the ball up in the paint.
And it was a big reason why they got outscored 58-56 in the paint. Like, the Heat can't get outscored in the paint. Like, that is minimum, like, base level. Are you going to win this game? Then you got to outscore the opponent in the paint, regardless of the opponent. We could be talking about the Sixers or the Milwaukee Bucks, who are also among the top teams in paint points produced. Like, the Heat have to outscore opponents in the paint if they're going to win that game. So the fact that they didn't do that and then got outscored by the three-point line and all these other things, this was of course the Heat lost. You look at this box score, there's no like, you're not like surprised that they lost this game. It makes a lot of sense based on everything that we're looking at here. Defensively, there were big concerns too. I know that we tend to focus on the offensive issues because they've been there all season long. Miami, one of the bottom five teams in offensive rating in the league. Defensively, they've been really good, especially in January. They've been awesome. That has not been that was not the case today. Look, you could look at the box score. Charlotte scored 122 points. They shot 54% overall. They made 15 of their 43 pointers. Like all that stuff is bad. And then you watch the rotations, the rotations were bad. I don't really know why they were so committed to switching everything. It didn't feel like it was working, especially early on when Mason Plumlee, who was apparently like the second coming of Akeem Olajuwon this month, just like they were like running plays for Mason Plumlee in this game where, all right, let's get Bam switched out onto Terry Rozier, LaMelo Ball. That guy will throw the entry pass into Mason Plumlee, who's going to have Caleb Martin or Tyler Hero or Kyle Lowry pinned underneath him, and he's just going to get to the basket. And you know, Mason Plumlee had, 10 points and only one assist, but I felt like a lot of their triggers came out of that too, because then they got Miami's defense scrambling. And then once they started scrambling, the rotations, like you were just saying, they weren't as crisp as they normally are. I don't, maybe chalk it up to an early like afternoon game on a Sunday. These games are always a little strange, but you know, especially for the road team, they can be a little difficult. For the home team, it's a little bit easier to get your legs under you. But whatever the reason, it doesn't really matter because it was what it was. And Miami's defense just was not at the level that we have been accustomed to seeing it at.
No, really shaky all day. And it just strange because Miami, again, has usually been pretty steady in that regard. But from the rotations, look, like Victor Oladipo at one point was one possession there where the Heat were losing the third quarter big time, and Oladipo was out on the floor. He was running around doing nothing. He was Pat Beverly, like Russell Westbrookian, in that sense, where he was just like going from person to person and not guarding anybody. And the result was a wide open 3-point shot in the corner from, I believe, PJ Washington, who was just absolutely deadly against Miami today. Maybe it was just built off of Plumlee's passing, because again, this is kind of a taste of Miami's own medicine, right? Because of Bam being able to initiate so much offense as a passer, Plumlee a pretty solid passer himself there. And maybe he was just initiating a lot of offense and just throwing everything off. I'm not sure. I'd have to rewatch the game, but I think I noticed on a couple of plays that certainly Plumlee led the offense there and led to a play or a breakdown in Miami's defense, and they were able to get a wide open look. And you have to give Charlotte credit. They were knocking down those shots. I don't think you'll ever see another game where Gordon Hayward, Terry Rozier, PJ Washington are all playing as effectively as they were today. They all combined and they were all deadly against Miami on a day when they were playing very badly. Charlotte wound up playing particularly well.
Yeah, the Hornets used an 11-0 run to go from 13 down to take the lead in the third quarter. It was Terry Rozier making two buzzer beaters, one from half court at the end of the second quarter going into halftime, another one at the end of the third quarter. And the Heat were outscored by 9 in that third quarter. So a return of the third quarter for those keeping up. And then in the fourth quarter, Miami got a little run. They went on a 10-0 run there to tie the game at 106 with 3.5 minutes left. It was Bam knocking down an 11-footer. And then he had this great deflection and then retapped the ball to Jimmy Butler in transition, led to an easy Jimmy Butler fast break basket that was so rare for the Heat tonight. So you had that. Kyle Lowry got a layup, and then he got into the paint and then found Bam for a floater. And that was all the stuff that had been working. And then and it was like, okay, yeah, the Heat are going on a run. And then just like that, it just vanished. It was like, and now it's gone. And then they were back to just playing no defense and giving up open shots. I don't know the last time I saw a Heat opponent get so many open looks. This was, you could say, oh yeah, I mean, Terry Rozier, PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward, what are the odds that they all have great games on the same night? Like, well, if you're going to give them open looks like that all night, the odds are going to be pretty good for any NBA player. And so this to me was more, I know we're going to look at the 3-point shooting. You're going to look at Kyle Lowry's numbers and all that kind of stuff. But to me, and I think you agree with me from the sounds of it, this is more of a defensive breakdown than anything else. Yeah, missing the threes, leading to easy, defensive rebounds for Charlotte, that they took a lot of those long rebounds off those missed Miami Heat threes and turned them into fast break points. Like, that was also an issue, but mostly it was the defensive concerns because, like we said, we found that we know now what the winning
formula
is.
This is a recipe.
This is a losing formula. This is how you lose a game for this Miami Heat team this season. But a lot of blame to go around. Another rough game for Kyle Lowry, like we talked about. What can the Heat do about it? We're going to talk about that next, David. But first, tell listeners about our sponsor.
Well, if you want to get into some daily fantasy, well, then Prize Picks is the option for you. It's so easy to use. Anybody can get into it, get started. Entries are so easy to make, and it's just you versus the numbers. You don't have to worry about going up against somebody else or what, you know, any conflicts of interest or anything like that. It's just you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they go and score more or less than their Prize Picks projections, then you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you versus the available projections. Prize Picks offers projections on any sport that you can watch, including the NBA. A couple games left in the NFL before the Super Bowl. That's your opportunity to cash in now. Men's and women's college basketball, soccer, the WNBA, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, you name it. And entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. And you can make safe and fast withdrawals. And they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with a promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, PrizePicks gives you $100 back. If you deposit $50, PrizePicks will give you $50. So don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON to sign up for an instant deposit match of up to $100 by going to prizepicks.com or using the PrizePicks app today.
Welcome back to Locked On Heat, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So please do subscribe over there. Thank you for making Locked On Heat your first listen every day. Well, that smell you smell is a smelly smell of another smelly loss, David. It is time to hand out some blame pie. And it feels like we can go in a lot of different directions with this. But I actually want to start with a tweet, which I think pretty much captures exactly who deserves blame pie here. Brian writes in, blame pie for everybody not named Jimmy Tyler or Hero. And I think what he means by that is also Bam, but whatever.
No, I disagree with that. I think Bam certainly needs to be included. Again, I think he gets
Tyler,
some blame pie.
Or Hero. He's using both of Tyler's names there then?
Jimmy or Tyler. Anybody named named Jimmy or Tyler. But either that, I mean, Tyler, I think, deserves less of blame because his shooting has been so erratic, and yet he was still Miami's best three-point shooter. But it was Jimmy's overall lack of effort, particularly in the defensive end, that I think is a little inexcusable.
Jimmy made this point a few weeks ago.
I think so. On the defensive end, I think so. Like, there were some plays there only towards the end. Like, there was that stretch where Miami was closing the gap, and that was reminiscent of what Heat basketball has been. I don't think it was nearly enough. And look, during that third quarter, I realized that he missed. He was out of the rotation for a bit there. There was a lineup that a lot of people have issues with regarding no Bam Adebayo or no Jimmy Butler. But even when he was in there, it wasn't like he was doing anything to dominate either. I think he did just enough offensively, but that's to be expected against a porous Charlotte's defense. That he had his way with them offensively all night. I just think the problems were a little bit, in the defense. I won't give blame pie to Jimmy. I'm just saying I don't know that he's necessarily excused from the loss overall. Like, he certainly contributed in his own way.
I would have liked to see Bam get more aggressive, but I have a hard time giving him blame pie. I mean, you look at where the Heat lost this game. It was really with the bench. You look at Jimmy, he was a +5. Bam Adebayo was +5. Tyler Hero was a +5. Kyle Lowry was a team best +11. I actually thought he played a good floor game. He just can't make a shot still.
No.
Victor Oladipo is a -4. Orlando Robinson was a -10, and he had some rough minutes out there. Gabe Vincent was -16. Max Strus was a -14. Vincent and Strus combining to go 2 of 9 from 3-point range. And then you throw Victor Oladipo in there. And that trio, Victor Oladipo, Vincent, and Strus, were 3 of 14 from 3-point range. That's really, really bad. That's really, really bad. So I have a hard time giving blame to the starters considering how bad the bench has been. But you mentioned the lineup that Spo went to in that third quarter. I know we're going to get to listener questions here in a second, but we did have one. We might as well just get to it now. Boomer writing in, why did Spo think a lineup with no starters to finish the last 3 minutes of the third quarter while Charlotte was making a run was a good idea? That was a lineup without Jimmy, without Bam, without Tyler Hero in it. And it's a good question because this was a night where Miami had its full, no Duncan Robinson, no Omer Yurtsman, no Nikola Jovic, but still, like, as full healthy as they've been for a long time, full complement of players, like you said, to go with that group, I don't know. That was a little strange. Does Spo deserve blame pie in this one?
I won't go that far. I think he was kind of just testing something out. Again, I don't think even when Miami Stars were, despite what the plus minus rankings say, I think that they weren't exactly lighting things on fire. They were basically holding their own, but they went into halftime down and that lead continued to increase. You know, PJ Washington was burning Miami starters. So I think in Spo's defense, I think he was probably just trying to see if he could throw something out there, and you have to trust
somebody on offense could make a shot, basically, like, let's just find something.
And it's worked, right? I mean, we've seen Gabe step up. We've seen Victor in particular step up. None of them were able to do so today, which is part of the problem. Again, is you're relying on these guys to have great games or at least perform solidly so that your stars can excel. But if your stars aren't excelling and your role players aren't contributing positively, then you get a rough, ugly loss like you did today.
I tend to agree with you. And you know me, I have a hard time blaming the players that are making less than $2 million a year when you've got players making $25 plus million a year not performing up to those sort of expectations. And so I think we do have to have that Kyle Lowry conversation again. 3 of 11, 11 points, 2 of 7 from three-point range, a bunch of them wide open. It's getting to the point where opponents are – they're not leaving them open the way that, like, opponents for the Lakers will just, like, let Russell Westbrook shoot, but they're not closing out super hard either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're just sort of letting those go. It's an issue with him, and I do think maybe you're right with Bam. Like, the fact that he only had 15 shots at some point, that's on him. Like, he was so aggressive, Bam was, early on in this game for him. And that, like I said, against Charlotte's drop coverage, that they didn't change. They didn't really do anything different throughout the entire game. So the fact that he only had those 15 shots in 36 minutes, he needed to be more aggressive too. So I think there's some blame pie to give to Bam and certainly some to give to Lowry.
Yes, I would agree more on the Lowry front than anything else. I don't think it's any coincidence that Miami was able to tie the game in the fourth quarter when Kyle was playing his biggest, best stretch of the game. And I think that's, you know, it's to be expected. Yeah, he was able to muscle in. Yeah, he was able to make either the right pass, muscle in there, and kind of squeeze his way to an easy layup. You know, just the version of Kyle Lowry that they need to see for at least 20 minutes in order for them to be a very good team. And that just hasn't been the case for most of the season. He's had a stretch here, a run there, a fourth quarter occasionally, but not enough and not consistently enough. So I would be very comfortable giving him at least two slices of blame pie.
I'm going to go 3 to Kyle. 3 fair. To Bam? 2?
2. 2. 2. All right, just because I'm just remembering, like, in retrospect, like getting out-muscled by Mason Plumlee in the year 2023.
He only had 4 rebounds, man. That's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, like towards the end there, even like, again, when the game was pretty clearly going in Charlotte's favor, you know, watching as Mason Plumlee steals the ball from you and drives for an uncontested dunk in the last 30 seconds of the game, that's inexcusable. You can't do that. I don't know what you do differently, but I'd certainly not that.
So 2 or 3?
2.
All right, so 2 to Bam, 3 to Kyle. You wanted to give a slice to Jimmy?
No, I won't give him Jimmy a slice.
So 2 to Bam, 3 to Kyle.
2 to Victor, I think at least 2 to Victor.
All right, so 3 to Kyle, 2 to Bam, 2 to Victor, 1 for Gabe, 1 for Max.
That's 9. Am I doing my math right? 3, 2, 2. Yeah, that's 7.
We got to get one more. I have a hard time giving Orlando Robinson any blame. He had a bad night, but he's on a two-way contract. He's on like that grace period for me, but.
Yeah, you know what? You gave one to Vincent. Yeah, you're fair. Let's give Bam the third slice then. You know what? Again.
All right.
You can't play worse than Mason Plumlee.
Maybe one to Chris Quinn for picking up a technical.
No. I need an explanation, Wes. I need an explanation about this game, first of all, but I just don't understand exactly what that was there.
All right, we're good.
Ever get any kind of clarity? I don't think we ever mentioned anything on the broadcast. I need to kind of shrug it off.
Nothing. There. Reporters got nothing. I don't know if there's going to be a pool report at the end of the game. We're recording this right after the buzzer, so I haven't heard anything. But we need an explanation. We need an explanation for that Chris Quinn tech. We need an explanation for what happened tonight. We're going to try to give our listeners some explanations on some of the questions that they sent in, including, is the window closed on the Heat's title chances? We'll answer that and more listener questions next. But first, David, tell the listeners about our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by TurboTax. Go to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Meet with an expert who will do them for you. TurboTax experts can relieve you from the stress of taxes and file for you so you can do not taxes. You can show your eyes things that are not taxes. You can unpack a moving box of not taxes. Taste, not taxes. Sing, not taxes, a lullaby. Hope, not taxes, sleeps through the night. Grab a saddle and ride, not taxes, into the sunset. With TurboTax, an expert will do your taxes from start to finish, ensuring your taxes are done right, guaranteed, so you can relax. Feels good to be done with your taxes, doesn't it? Come to TurboTax and don't do your taxes. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Full service products only. You can get a video meeting while the expert does your taxes. It's required. So see guaranteed details at TurboTax.com/guaranteed.
Reach Locked On Heat on Twitter, Instagram, email us, LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Thanks to everybody who sent in questions for the postgame show using the hashtag AskLOHeat on Twitter. Phil writes in, how big are these next couple of games against the Cavs and the Knicks? So Miami in Cleveland on Tuesday night, in New York to play the Knicks on Thursday night. With this loss, the Heat fall 28-23. They're 8 games out of first place, 2 games away from Cleveland for the 5th spot. But more importantly, just a game ahead of the Knicks for that 7th seed. That 7th seed, of course, is going to be part of the play-in tournament. So Miami right now with a little cushion, a 1-game cushion, making these next couple games. You beat Cleveland and in Cleveland on Tuesday. That counts as two. That counts double. But the same thing goes for the Knicks. Like if you lose to the Knicks at Madison Square Garden Thursday night, that's potentially devastating when we get to the end of the season when we're looking at seeding. So these next games, I think, are as big of games as the Heat have played all season, I think.
A lot more important now than they were before 1 o'clock tip-off, you know.
Right.
This was an opportunity for you to get an it's not a knock on the Charlotte Hornets, but they struggled all year.
This is a bad loss. Yeah.
It was not a good showing from Miami. You had a chance to beat up on an easier opponent. We've made this point all year long. This is what good teams do. You don't lose games to bad opponents, and Miami has done it on a number of occasions. Now all of a sudden you're forcing yourself to win these two games, and they become, if not must wins, kind of must wins, because you with every loss, now you get further and further into a hole record-wise. It dictates the course of the season from here. Does Miami have to make that trade now? It forces Miami's hands in a way that maybe it didn't necessarily before. You can't afford to go 0-3. And as we mentioned before in Friday's recap, you know, Miami only plays 3 home games. You've got the All-Star break. You've got the trade deadline. Players are struggling. There's anxiety in every locker room in the NBA right now because you don't know what is going to happen next. You don't know if somebody's going to get moved or not. This was their chance to go in one afternoon in Charlotte and at least gain a little ground the record. 29-22 sounds a whole hell of a lot better than 28-23. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity for you to have gotten an easier win, and now all of a sudden you have to face 2 quality opponents in Cleveland and New York and have to win both.
Yeah, the Cavs are a really good basketball team. The Knicks have been playing really well lately. I know they're coming off of a loss, but they're 5-5 in their last 10. They're, like I said, they're just 1 game back of Miami in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Like these are really big games. And the point you make, like if you were able to take care of business against what was a 14-36 Charlotte Hornets team that you should have won, these games are a little bit less important, but these are almost must wins. These are as close to must wins as there's been all season for the Heat. We'll put it that way. Billy writes in, was this a good audition for PJ Washington ahead of the NBA trade deadline? I know there's always Heat fans who have fancied the idea of PJ Washington in a Heat jersey.
Yeah, I think he's an intriguing player. I know we talked about in an episode that a lot of people have lauded. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you do so. We talked about John Collins, you know, a player who's been somewhat underwhelming in his short career. Mostly because he's been utilized badly in Atlanta, because Atlanta is a mess in many, many ways, and he would be a great fit, at least in our theory. Our vision for Collins in Miami would be that he would be a pretty solid player, and I feel like Washington could fit into there as well. Not a lot of success, a number of coaches in his short tenure. I think he's offensively gifted. We saw him shoot the ball well. He's not as explosive as Collins, so he's not the same lob threat by any stretch. He's a little undersized, but he's bigger. And he plays bigger than most players in Miami's roster. And so I think he would be a nice rebounder, a good complimentary scorer, a guy who can start, and I think would deserve to start over Caleb Martin. I think he's good enough, and I think he would continue to improve and get better. And he's young enough so that he can continue to build those good habits that Miami does such a good job of teaching to young players. So I think, yes, I don't know if it's a tryout, but I think it's certainly a player that you could look into. If there's a trade to be had with him, I think you could certainly do.
I don't know that Charlotte is actively looking to move PJ Washington either. If they're looking to I understand that he's going to be a free agent and things like that, and they've got that part to figure out. So that's more of an internal thing. Do they think they have a real chance to bring him back? Do they want to bring him back at whatever price tag that they think he's going to be asking for and all these things? But if you're trying to, you know, reconfigure this thing around LaMelo, PJ Washington seems like a good fit next to LaMelo. And I don't know why you would just get rid of him for nothing. If I'm the Hornets, I'd actually just risk it going into the offseason and see if we can bring him back. But every player has a price too. And I don't know what PJ Washington would cost, but that's a different kind of conversation. In terms of his overall fit and whether or not the Heat want to pick up the phone, tonight was a good audition. He made 3 of his 7 three-point attempts. And it looked good. Smooth stroke. He's a 37% career three-point shooter. So when you're looking for a big that you want to play next to Bam, he kind of fits the bill, right? You sort of start with that. Can he stretch the floor next to Bam and Jimmy Butler too? Like, and if the answer is yes, then at least, you know, now we're talking about somebody who theoretically fits. And then defensively, he's got a super long wingspan. I was really impressed with his defense, specifically fighting over and around screens tonight this afternoon. I thought the Hornets actually did a really nice job of it overall.
I think he lost weight. He looked a little slimmer. Like, I think he's just a little bit more fit than he was. Yeah, I think I would say that.
I'm not the biggest PJ Washington fan. I know, like, he's like, you know, target number 1A for a lot of Heat fans. I'm not that high on PJ Washington. He's still kind of a finesse player for me more than I'd like
Let's be honest. Your exact response when I said PJ was putting on a hell of a show for Miami was meh. Let's leave it at that. Come on.
He made the 3 3-pointers, but yeah. So I'm not the biggest PJ Washington fan. That said, depending on what the cost would be and all these things, it's probably worth picking up the phone. But again, I have no idea what Charlotte would be looking for from him.
I think this ends with Miami reacquiring Gordon Hayward somehow, though. I don't know. That's the sad part. Yeah.
I don't know if Pat Riley's still interested in PJ Washington's more of like a John Collins light. Like, between the two, I think John Collins would be the one that is more of a preference. But if you can't do that, then something like PJ Washington might make some sense. Ack writes in, will the Heat be able to compete for a title again before Jimmy Butler retires? Big picture for the end of the show, David. Maybe this is a question for another podcast, but will the Heat be able to compete for a title again? I mean, they could. It's not a 0% chance. I'll put it that way.
No,
like, let's not overreact. It's a bad loss, but we can't overreact to this loss and be like, well, the title window is closed now. Like.
Yeah, no, it is a bottom three loss of the season for sure. And I don't think it necessarily eliminates Miami from future playoff contention either, though. As ugly as it was, as bad as it was, I don't think I don't think it signals a trade of Jimmy Butler is imminent now that they lost to the Charlotte Hornets.
Big games, nonetheless, coming up in Cleveland, in New York, Tuesday and Thursday night. You know that we'll have post games shows for you for those games. Afterwards, we'll also have a breakdown, big picture, of where Kyle Lowry stands on this roster. And then our friend Jake Fisher is going to join us over from Yahoo's NBA page. He's going to come on NBA Insider with all the intel that he's got on the Heat going into the trade deadline. That's what we got coming up for you this week on Locked On Heat. Thank you again for making us your first listen every day. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Heat on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube. Ring the bell to get notified as soon as new episodes go up. Now make your second listen Game to Game NBA. Every moment, every top performance, every result. Locked On Game to Game covers every game from across the NBA with local analysis that only Locked On can deliver. Follow Game to Game on Locked On NBA. It's available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the NFL championship games, David.
I probably won't watch it, guys.